Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. In defending himself against his critics in 2 Corinthians chapters 2 and 3, and now into chapter 4, the Apostle Paul talks about the requirements of a true minister of the gospel, and particularly the importance of integrity, and he lists six different areas in verse 2 of chapter 4 in which a gospel minister must be a man of integrity. He says, "But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." We've examined, I think, half of the list, the first three, and we've got three more to go. But we have learned so far that a minister must have integrity in his personal life. He is one who renounces the hidden things of shame. He must not be living a secret life of sinfulness while he is projecting this public image of righteousness. Furthermore, he must have integrity in the area of methodology. The way he conducts his ministry should be in consistency with the truth that he says he believes. Not walking in craftiness, is the way Paul puts it here. And thirdly, he must have integrity in honest biblical exposition, not handling the Word of God deceitfully, not using God's Word to accomplish my own goals, but rather preaching God's Word, teaching God's Word, explaining God's Word for what it actually says, and submitting myself and my goals to what the Word of God teaches. A minister of the gospel, pastor of a church or churches, must be one who handles the Word of God properly. And that brings us then to number four, which we'll get to in just a moment, which is the integrity of Word-centered reliance. But I pause to welcome you to this Friday, October 28 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, to thank you for joining us today, and to remind you that we are in need of financial support in order to continue this ministry on this station. Back to verse 2 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, "But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth." But by manifestation of the truth. In other words, what Paul is saying is, the minister of the gospel, the minister of the people of God, the one who pastors or teaches God's people, needs to be a person who relies upon the truth of God's Word for the ongoing work of his ministry, and nothing else. Nothing else. By manifestation of the truth. That's in contrast, of course, to walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. He must not do those things, but what must he do? He must manifest the truth. That must be the entire basis and foundation and methodology of his ministry. He must be a person of integrity in the area of word-centered reliance. That seems obvious. It seems unquestionable, but it seems to be very difficult to achieve that, or so one would conclude, by observing the way many ministries are carried forward. How many churches are built upon the Bible as the foundation and the methodology of their ministry? No church that I know would say that the Word of God has no place in their ministry, but many of them would not make it of primary importance. They would not make it the most important matter. They would not make the ministry of God's Word the foundation for that church's operation. Other things, whatever they may be, and we've talked about some of them on previous broadcasts, but other things become more important because, and here's the whole crux of the matter, because we say that we believe the Word of God and that we have confidence in the Word of God, but when it comes right down to it, in too many cases, we really don't trust the Word of God alone to be sufficient to accomplish God's work. Now, a big part of the problem is we adopt goals that we assume are God-honoring, but they may not be. Who can argue with the goal of trying to reach as many people as possible? I couldn't tell you that that is a bad goal, a false goal, but I can tell you that it often becomes the rationale for doing things other than relying upon God's Word. Of course we want to reach as many people as possible, that is, as is possible with a word-centered ministry, as is possible by demonstrating integrity of a word-centered reliance. Reach as many people as possible, meaning reach as many people as we can with the Word of God. But if we don't believe that God's Word is sufficient to build a church, then we'll have to find something else that will accomplish the goal that we have set, which we have convinced ourselves is a God-honoring goal, but which may turn out not to be so. Our goal is to grow. Well, is there anything wrong with that? Who wouldn't want the church to grow? But if growth becomes the goal to the extent that we will rely upon something else than God's Word to produce the growth, then it becomes a problem. You see, the truth of the matter is, the goal is not to grow. The goal is to be faithful to God's Word and leave the results to Him. In some cases, God will bless that ministry, word-centered ministry, and cause growth. It does happen, believe it or not. It does happen. The reason why we might not believe it is because it is not often tried, to be very honest. Other things are necessary. We've got to do this. The United States of America is rife with ministries that hold up a placard as to this is the way to be successful. And somebody will have a ministry that grows, and when it reaches sufficient proportions that it becomes remarkable in some way, then it usually is not long until that ministry is conducting conferences and inviting ministers to come and learn how to do it. In other words, learn how we did it. This is how we produced growth. And here they come. They want to come and learn how to to have the same success in their church that they have seen in this other church, this usually what we would call a mega church. And so here they come. This is how to do it. And of course, this mega church did it this way, and this mega church did it that way. There may be some similarities, but there's almost always a few differences, enough to make each one, in some respects, unique. It's like, we've got the corner on how to make this happen. We've got the unique methodology that will produce the results that you want. So here they come to learn these techniques so that they can go home and apply them in their churches and make it happen. And I've been watching this going on for decades. And I must say that in the early years of my ministry, I attended some conferences like that myself because I didn't have my foundation firmly in place. But eventually I came to realize my responsibility is not to grow the church as much as I would like to. I do pray that God will cause His word to find lodging in hearts, that people will be saved, that the church will grow. I pray for that regularly, but that is not my goal. My goal is to be faithful in the preaching of God's word and ask God to use that as it pleases Him. Sometimes the preaching of God's word, rather than producing growth, produces shrinkage. Sometimes the preaching of God's word drives people away who are not interested in the word. Sometimes the preaching of God's word drives people away who are not willing to deal with their sins. They don't like to be confronted with their sin. They don't like to have their secret sins uncovered. They don't like to have their wrong philosophies of life challenged. They don't like to have their weakness in Christianity to be exposed. And so since they're not interested in true biblical Christianity and they're not interested in change, they're not willing to consider that there might be something wrong with their style of Christianity. They're not willing to repent of the things that God's word tells them are wrong. They will leave a ministry like that and go find one that caters to their carnal desires. Now, it may be that after a period of cleansing, there will afterwards ensue a period of growth when those who are unwilling to submit to the word of God are out of the way and are no longer a hindrance, and then the word of God begins to work in hearts and lives of people who really want to receive it and to attract other people who are looking for it. And there are some, not huge numbers, but there are some. It's pretty obvious that the majority of those who call themselves Christians in America in the 21st century are not really interested in the Word of God, primarily. Only as a token, as a symbol. We believe the Bible. We've got to have a little bit of Bible so that we can convince ourselves that we do believe the Bible, but that's not really what we're interested in. And so when the majority are interested in something else, then those whose primary goal is church growth are going to try to find out what it is that will attract the people and offer that. But Paul says, integrity requires a word-centered reliance. That's what we must rely upon, that and that alone, to produce eternal results. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.